The BBC Good Food Show Summer is back at the NEC. It is 27 degrees outside, so I'm pleased to say in the studio here in Hall 19, it's a little bit cooler. And I'm delighted to be joined by, well, let me give you a clue, because on her website is a brilliant, brilliant description. It says, I'm a mama and a maker. I am a wife and a weigher of flour. I am a builder of Lego and baker of cake. I am a family woman and a family cook. It is, of course, the brilliant Nadia Hussain. Nadia, thank you for joining us at the show. It's getting busy now, isn't it?
Thank you for having me. I've got to tell you, it is my height. Well, this is genuinely one of my highlights of my job, is to come here and do this. I absolutely love the people that come here, and I love the crowds, and it's just such a lovely atmosphere every year. I love doing it. Love it.
And you're on the big kitchen stage as well, with all the lights and the music and the cameras.
Yeah.
It's been a heck of a journey for you, hasn't it?
It has. If I look back a decade ago, I wasn't here. And now here I am. So when I'm stood in places like the big kitchen with all the lights and the cameras and I'm cooking, I do have pinch me moments and think, my goodness, how has this happened? But I absolutely love it. I absolutely love doing what I do.
Are you a prime example of, if you put your mind to something, you can achieve it? Because a lot of kids in school are told this nowadays. You can have whatever you want as long as you focus and have it. You've worked hard for what you've got, though, haven't
you? Absolutely. I think you can have whatever you want as long as you work hard and put time and graft and energy into it. And I always say to my kids, just being good at something isn't enough. You have to do the work. You have to toil. You have to put time and blood and sweat into it. And that's exactly, I suppose if I look back at the last 10 years, it's not been easy, and it's been a lot of hard work, but I've loved every second of it.
Mm. And now we'll talk about what you're cooking here at the show and some of your recipes that I've tried that I just want to talk to you about. But children's books as well, and another avenue, another skill in your CV.
Yeah, I did cookbooks quite early on, and it was when my kids were much smaller, so it was lovely to be able to write books that they could use at the time, and it was inspired entirely by them, because they love reading, they love cooking, they love being in the kitchen, so it made sense to write a book where I had recipes and stories that kind of sat side by side, and that's essentially what it is. It's about bringing stories to life. I loved that element of it, because that is exactly what I do day to day. You know, when I listen to stories that my mum and dad tell me or my grandma tells me, there's always some sort of food involved, and it's about bringing all of that to life. And to be able to do that for children is such a privilege.
Mm. Food is a real bond in families, isn't it? And I know from your television programmes, it just fits in. It's a natural glue that holds you and your family together.
Food, like, if somebody says, oh, I'm not coming, like, no, like, food is, if you say, I'm going to cook, who's not going to come over? Like, it's really, of course they are. Like, it's, you can't, we, when I grew up, I had, my parents would cook, and we had extended family, and everyone would come over. And those are my core memories of growing up as a child. They're my happiest memories, when people would come over and they would eat, and there was always something on the stove or something in the fridge ready for someone to eat. So, and my house has become exactly that now.
Now, let's talk about what you're cooking here, first of all, which is, the recipe is in the show guide for people who are coming. Breakfast Yorkie. Talk me through that one.
So this is like a German pancake. So, and it's essentially a Yorkshire pudding with lots of sweet, delicious things on top. And so I'm doing a delicious one with granola, and I'm doing some with some orange segments and marmalade. It's absolutely delicious. So it's like a Yorkshire pudding, but sweet.
Now, that takes me on to my next point, which is about how you create your little twist on things, because of the cultural heritage of your cooking and all the rest of it, and then the Britishness side of it. I've done a couple of yours. One, first of all, I want to talk about the Sikh kebab toad in the hole.
Yes.
Which, just saying it, makes me smile. Makes me smile. It's brilliant. I mean, it's just so easy to do, but lovely. And what an odd twist.
Well, toad in the hole has got sausages in, and then the Sikh kebab is essentially like a Indian sausage, and so why not? Like, why not put the two together? And I think being able to be that free and not worry about the rules in cooking, don't get me wrong, there are lots of people who say, oh, well, you can't do that to a toad in the hole, but it kind of, who says who? Mm. Says who? when it comes to being creative in the kitchen, it is all about taking stuff that you love and making something even better. Mm. And that's essentially, I love a toad in the hole, love Sikh kebab, put the two together. And you've made it. What did you think?
I thought it was fantastic.
Good.
Because it's your eyes tell you one thing and then your taste buds tell you another, and then the smile happens.
Yeah, you're like, oh yes.
Equally, the other one I want to talk to you about is the halloumi. I love halloumi. Halloumi and coconut sambal, which again is the sort of vegetarian element as well. I think so many people are picking up on halloumi and paneer and things like this now and realizing that texture is as important as flavour.
Absolutely. And I think this with this recipe, you've got the kind of salty halloumi, and then you've got the kind of the sambal is just, oh, it's just delicious, isn't it? Like just sprinkled on top, it gives you a different element, a different flavour, a different texture. But yeah, I think, and also the reason why I kind of think it's really important to put things like halloumi in is that sometimes people can't find paneer. You know, when they're looking for paneer, they can't find it. If they haven't got a world food aisle in the supermarket, then they will have to find an alternative. And I'm all about finding alternatives for people and making sure they don't miss out. Yeah. You never want to feel like you miss out.
No, absolutely. I'm going to make it again when I get home from the show, because I've just spoken to some family who were Syrian refugees,
right,
who make halloumi in Yorkshire. And
yes,
they're down the bottom end. And I think
you
know that. Yeah,
I filmed with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rajid and Razan.
Yes.
Lovely people. I'm taking a case of it home.
Oh my God, it's delicious. They're halloumi. I was in the factory and I was making it with them myself. I'm going to have to go and say hello.
I'm sure they'll be delighted to see you. What's your comfort dish at home? You get up in the morning, think, oh, it's Sunday morning, loads to do. What does Nadia Hussain, when she's not on telly, cook as a comfort dish?
Oh, comfort dish. Do you know what? I have lots of, depending on what the weather's like, I have lots of different things. But for me, do you know what? I'm going to be really, really dull and tell you that I love beans on toast. Like sometimes I spent so much time cooking that sometimes it's just beans on toast. But for us, it's a curry. Like whenever, like if somebody else cooks me a curry, I'm quite happy.
Right.
Yeah.
People cooking for Nadia Hussain, that must frighten the
literally never
daylight.
Happens.
Oh, does
literally
it
literally never happens.
Nobody cooks for
no,
you.
No, apart from my sisters, if I go round, or my mum, but I expect them to cook for me, for goodness sake. But no, apart from that, literally no one will cook for me. You know, when I go to restaurants, they take the dessert menu away.
Really?
And they're like, no, we don't want you to have the dessert. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to have dessert. And they're like, but you're going to judge us? And I'm like, I kid you not. I'm like, I'm not going to judge you. I no one makes me dessert. I'm happy to have anything. So, yeah.
Talking of restaurants, I heard you on Jay Rayner's podcast a while ago, quite a couple of years or so ago. Jay Rayner, fantastic. And you did, anybody who hasn't listened to it, I recommend they go and listen to it, because it was a fascinating listen with your talking about your family and your history and yeah, cooking and all the rest of it. And you went to a great place in Brick, down in the Brick Lane, I think.
Yeah.
You, which is, but it sounded to me like you were really enjoying being waited on. You've got that glint in
your
eye.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, I loved it. I love, because I spend so much time cooking and I spend so much time feeding my family, it's lovely to be able to sit down and have somebody else serve you. Because as a mum of three fast-growing children, I very rarely make... No one ever makes a plate for me. I have to make a plate for everyone, and then it's me who has to... I kind of end up eating the scraps. and so it's lovely. Believe me, I love that. The two things I love doing most, eating and talking, and I did both at the same time. So, and with Jay Rayner, who is, by the way, the nicest person ever.
It was. I can highly, highly recommend it. Where do you go next? What's next for you? Children's books, the bakeware range, the cookbooks, appearing at the shows, television. There's a list going up my arm here. Uh-huh. Where do you go next?
I don't know is the answer, because I am not very much... I'm very much not a forecast of 5 years, a forecast of 10 years. I like to kind of live in the moment and enjoy every single moment. So when I'm here, I enjoy that moment. I enjoy being here. And I think it's really important to be present. And I also, yeah, I'm not very good at planning ahead, because you don't get to enjoy the moment if you don't. So I don't know. I've been able to do some really incredible things in my nearly decade-long career. You know, and it's bizarre to say it, but, you know, I've done amazing things. But I don't intend on stopping. I intend, you know, I am a, it's really important for me as a Muslim woman in an industry that, you know, you won't normally see people like me. You know, it's really important to make sure that I take that space and enjoy that space and make space for other people. So hopefully I'll be doing this for a very, very long time.
I just briefly want to touch on the cost of living crisis without bringing us down from our chat. But on a lot of people's minds at the moment, the weekly shop, how to cook economically, feed families. I mean, what are your big budget cooking tips?
It's something that I think I've been doing. Like, I'm very much into not wasting. I have, you know, I grew up in an immigrant household. We never, ever wasted. Anything that could be used was used. Anything that could be dried was dried. If things could be frozen, they would be frozen, you know. So you have to, like, I grew up around that. So for me, it doesn't feel unfamiliar to constantly be thinking about not wasting. So I think I've noticed as well, when I've gone to the weekly shop, how £40 does not stretch very far at all. And that's really, really scary. And I think for anyone who's really worried, just step back and think about the things that you normally would put in the compost bin and how they can be used. Because simple things like potato peelings and carrot peelings, often we just throw into the compost bin and don't think about it. But if you save a couple of weeks of potato peelings, root vegetable peelings, and then turn them into a massive soup at the end of the end of 2 weeks, you've got a good few meals there. So think about what you're throwing away and ask yourself, can that be thrown away?
And if you've got an air fryer, potato peelings in an air fryer
amazing
make great crisps.
Yes, they do.
Isn't it amazing when we talk about food? My eyes go wide and so do yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
BBC, that's why we're friends.
BBC Good Food Show Summer doubles up with BBC Gardeners World Live here at the NEC. Are you a gardener?
I am a trying gardener. My parents are amazing at gardening, and my parents grew up on a farm in Bangladesh, so they are all about, you know, soil. You know, they're all about growing your own vegetables, and they still to this day grow their own vegetables for the whole year. So I tried really, really hard, and one year I did really well, and I thought, this is it, I've got it, I've got what mum and dad have, and I don't. I try really hard. I'm very good at weeding. I'm very good at keeping the garden tidy. But I try my very best. And I'm growing some tomatoes this year and some sweet potatoes I'm trying. So, yeah, we'll see.
Fantastic. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Just need a bit, I don't whisper this, but we need a bit of rain, don't we, for the garden?
Yes. Yes, don't say it.
Not yet. Not yet. BBC Good Food Show Summer is at the NEC until Sunday. BBCGoodFoodShow.com is the website for lots of information on opening times and how you get a hold of tickets. And as I've just mentioned, it doubles up entry, gets you into BBC Gardeners World Live as well. Nadia, a real pleasure. I know how busy you are at this show, so popping into the studio here to see is fantastic. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.